Now we're going to check in with the editorial board of the Arizona Republic. It's a regular segment where we talk about the big issues facing the state and the region, featured in the newspaper's viewpoint section. Arizona's 8th Congressional District unexpectedly opened late last year when longtime Representative Trent Franks resigned following revelations related to sexual misconduct and a pending House ethics investigation. The special primary is being held February 27th, and the Arizona Republic has revealed its endorsements for CD8 on the Republican and Democratic sides. The paper's editorial director, Phil Boas, is with me for his weekly appearance to talk about those. Phil, on the GOP side, the paper endorsed Debbie Lesko. What stands out about her?
Well, Lesko is somebody who got big things done. I mean, she worked on policy while she was in the Arizona legislature and really spearheaded it. The pension reform was a big one, and she made a difference on that and was able to bring together the labor, the unions, and employers, and Republicans and Democrats, and get a bipartisan bill through. It was pretty impressive stuff, and she's done that more than once, taken big policy issues and seen success with them. Nobody else in that slate of pretty far right-wing candidates has achieved anything like that.
One other thing that was mentioned is she supported Governor Brewer's temporary tax hike as well, which you wouldn't normally see from a conservative Republican.
Right. You know, we're, when you're looking at a race that is that conservative, you're looking for some signals that people are not these rigid ideologues. And that was one of the signals, that she was willing to support the one-cent sales tax, which was really to try to save education when we're getting killed in the Great Recession. So she was willing to do that, and probably one of the reasons that Jan Brewer gave her endorsement to Debbie Lesko.
Yeah, at this point, considering the governor, ex-governor, lives in that district, how significant was that endorsement?
I think it matters over there. I think Jan Brewer's name has cachet in, on the west side. It's a working class area, very conservative, senior citizens. Jan Brewer was a hero to them, so I think it matters.
And speaking of endorsements, Steve Montenegro got the endorsement of his former boss, Representative Franks, also former Sheriff Arpaio. Are those names still significant in that district?
They probably are. I mean, so a lot of people were standing on the sidelines saying, well, why would you want those endorsements? I think Lori Roberts asked the question. In that district, the district is just so conservative. And just to give you an example, the Republicans have a 17-point advantage in registration, but that doesn't even tell you the story. So High Ground Public Affairs did an analysis of this race, and they found out that when you get actual voters on election day or early voting, they're 2-1 Republicans. And you break it down further, 59% of the people in this district who vote are 65 and older. 28% are 50 or older. That means that 87% are 50 or older. That leaves 13% for 50 and under. And only 2% are under 30. That's pretty amazing.
That does tell the tale of the tape in many ways,
yeah.
So one other Republican to ask you about is Phil Lobos, who was a short-time lawmaker and then went to work for the Trump administration. And I don't know if he expected to get a Trump endorsement. Are you surprised there hasn't been something, some signal, at least from the administration, as far as who they prefer there?
I don't know. I think Trump might be learning from Alabama. He might want to steer clear of some of this, but it's been an interesting fact about that race, that, and the way we put it in our editorial is that everybody is trying to prove that they can bear hug Donald Trump the hardest. Trump matters in that district, and because senior citizens are the vanguard of Trump supporters, the seniors in this country love Donald Trump, mm-hmm. and that's who votes in that district. So,
and the Democratic side, two candidates, and one is Dr. Haral Tipirneni, who has been getting a lot of credit for certain things, and she got your endorsement, the paper's endorsement. Why so?
Practically, she probably has no chance. You know, a Democrat isn't going to win in that district, but it is great to see people step up and decide that, you know what, this is worth having a debate about. And she has done it. She's an impressive woman, an emergency room doctor, first-generation American. Somebody who cares about health care and looks at it in a more impassioned way, at the whole political scene in a more impassioned, facts-based way. So she's an impressive person. And so she's telling us, you know, this is a person with leadership skills and abilities and ambitions. This is somebody to watch in the future. It's a good thing to see, even though she's probably not going to win this race. And then we have Brianna Westbrook, who is a transgender woman, who I would say has a lot of guts to run in a district like this. Mm-hmm. So that's admirable as well.
Are these two Democrats where if they make a decent showing, I don't mean come close to winning, but make a good showing in terms of the campaign, people you could see running for office again? I mean, are these people, Democrats are always looking for a bench in this state.
Right. No, I think it's a way for Democrats to see leadership, you know, to, who has the guts to step up and challenge the Republicans. And here you see two of them. And so it may not be as a congressperson, you know, it may be, you know, at the school board or in the legislature. But Democrats have people they can look at and say, you know, maybe there's hope there. Maybe there looks to be skill there. Let's tap into it.
And Phil, finally, how strange is this race, considering the short term, the need to get the signatures so fast, the fact you need to raise money so fast? How big an impact does that have ultimately on what happens?
Well, I think the strangeness begins with Trent Franks. So who could have ever anticipated that? So once you got that, everything else is pretty typical. It feels pretty typical. But yeah, no, it's fast. But it, you know what? Early voting has made all the cycles really fast. There's no time for debate anymore because, you know, people are voting. Once you get the ballot set, early voting comes along and you're already into it. And so there's very little time already. So we're pretty used to this, actually.
Phil Boas is editorial director of the Arizona Republic.